Liverpool march on to the round of 16 after defeating Atletico at Anfield. They're joined by Ajax, who came from behind to win at Dortmund. Paris Saint-Germain are denied by late penalty drama at Leipzig. Sporting, Inter and Real Madrid claim victories too. We'll discuss Alea headers, Benzema brilliance and more Manchester City magic on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and it's time to review Match Day 4 Wednesday in the UEFA Champions League. The knockout stages are starting to take shape, and once again the competition threw up loads of drama, red cards, goals, late goals as well. I'm joined by commentators Adam Summerton and Phil Blacker. Adam, your thoughts on Liverpool's 2-0 win against Atletico?
Very commanding, particularly in the first half. It could have been more. Atletico really couldn't handle Liverpool in that first half. The energy, the intensity, the tempo. Liverpool fully deserved the win, and what an achievement to top the group and be through after four games played. It's some achievement. Atletico still have a lot of work to do.
And Ajax through with two games to spare as well, impressively at Dortmund in the end. They had to do it the hard way, having gone behind in the first half and trail going into the last 20 minutes. It was such a big ask, though, for Dortmund against this Ajax side to play for an hour with 10 men after Mats Hummels' dismissal. They kept them at bay for 70 minutes of the match, but Ajax ultimately saw their patience and their pressure pay off, and their remarkable winning run at the start of the group goes on.
Two teams through on Wednesday, but that isn't the end of the drama. We've got European football expert Chris Parrott, who's going to help us pick out the other major stories tonight.
Well, actually, can I just come on to that quickly, Rob? Because the first four teams through are all absolute giants of the European game. They've won it 18 times between them. Liverpool and Ajax on Wednesday. Bayern and Juve. That's not a bad start to the last 16, is it? And some of these groups, you look at the fixtures now for Match Day 5 and Match Day 6, there are going to be basically some finals coming up over the next couple of weeks. It is set up absolutely beautifully.
OK, so let's go through all of the results from Wednesday. In Group A, Manchester City 4, Club Brugge 1, RB Leipzig 2, Paris Saint-Germain 2. Group B, AC Milan 1, Porto 1 in the early kickoff, Liverpool 2, Atletico 0. Group C, Sporting 4, Besiktas 0, Dortmund 1, Ajax 3. And in Group D, Real Madrid 2, Shakhtar 1, Sheriff 1, Inter 3. And a reminder, if you want to remember what happened on Tuesday and reflect on that drama, download the previous edition of this podcast. Okay, to Anfield first then, where Liverpool hosted Atletico. Adam Summerton, watch this one.
Back now to Alexander-Arnold and Jota! From close range, puts Liverpool in front. Fantastic cross to pick him out. And Jota was perfectly positioned from only a metre or two out to head past Oblak. 1-0 Liverpool, Alexander-Arnold, and Sadio Mane is there to tap it home. Again, like the first, it's from close range. Again, like the first, Alexander-Arnold is involved. Liverpool in a commanding position at Anfield. Liverpool 2, Atletico 0.
Liverpool could have added to it in the second half, but they didn't need to. 2-0 and they're through to the round of 16. Chris and Adam with me now to reflect on this. Adam, could you try and describe what Liverpool were like, perhaps in that opening half of a half, that first 21 minutes of the game?
Yeah, just, I mean, I think Chris actually in commentary said something that was really true. It was almost a heart back to the earlier days under Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool, where, you know, people talked about heavy metal football and things like that. It felt a little bit more like that. There's been a change stylistically, I think, during Klopp's time at Liverpool. But it was the way that they were swarming over Atletico, not giving them a moment to settle at all on the ball, constantly putting them under pressure, energy, intensity, tenacity. All of those things were there from Liverpool. And Atletico, you so rarely say this about them, Rob, but they just couldn't really handle it. And Liverpool, you know, fully justified that two-goal lead when they got it as well, which was fairly early on into the game. They were 2-0 up after just over 20 minutes. And I don't think anyone watching the game could have said that it wasn't justified, really. So, yeah, I mean, Atletico maybe not as well organised as perhaps the reputation that they have suggests as well. But I think you have to give the credit to Liverpool, really. I mean, that's the way I saw it, that Liverpool were just so good in that, particularly that first half an hour.
I think there has been a slight, I think not just not just in this game, but actually this season, there has been a slight return since the fans have come back, particularly at Anfield, for Liverpool, absolutely going for the kill in the opening half an hour of games. And they are almost impossible to stop. The two assists for Trent Alexander-Arnold were different, but equally brilliant. And as you mentioned, Rob, in the second half, in the first 10 minutes of the second half, Jota had one disallowed for a marginal but correct offside. He had a header. Joel Matip missed from 3 metres. They had four or five great chances to make it 3-0. Then Diego Simeone, I think, worried about a real beating, changed it and basically thought, do you know what, we're going to go back to 4-4-1 and we'll take 2-0. And Liverpool actually equally thought, do you know what, in a busy season, will take 2-0 as well. It was very, very comfortable and very, very impressive.
A statement performance. Let's hear from Liverpool's captain, Jordan Henderson, pleased with the win.
Yeah, that was important for us. You know, I think when we played them away, we're 2-0 up and they got about the 2-2, so we're quite wary of that, making sure that didn't happen again, manage the game properly, keep the ball, keep them running. So, yeah, overall pleasing. I thought we took this thing out of the game second half well and seeing out the game well, creating chances, winning the ball back high up. Some lovely play and some good goals. So first half very good, and then I thought second half was a professional performance.
Antoine Griezmann was suspended for this one after his red card when the sides met on match day 3. Liverpool had Fabinho back at the base of their midfield, and Adam, you were saying how important that was.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Fabinho for me is just a Rolls Royce of a player, and you notice the impact that he has, that calming influence that he does. A lot of things that maybe people don't notice that much, but I'm sure his teammates notice it. He just brings so much to that midfield, and if you play him at centre half, he'll bring plenty there. If you play him at right back, he'll bring plenty there as well. He's just a Rolls Royce of a footballer, and I think in the real biggest games for me, Fabinho will be absolutely critical. I mean, the latter stages of this competition, presuming that Liverpool do get to the latter stages, and everything points to the fact that they surely will do, playing like this. If they can keep him fit in the biggest games, he'll be crucial for them in that central midfield. He really will be. There can't be too many better in that position right now in world football.
And they had the luxury of him coming off after 60 minutes. So the perfect night, I think, for Liverpool. The only slight worry was that Roberto Firmino came on at the break for Sadio Mane and then went off himself. They'll hope that is not anything serious at all. Particularly given the schedule they have ahead of the next international break. They were brilliant for Atletico. It was basically done when Felipe got sent off, I think. And I think the fact that he didn't go back to the referee, who called him back twice, maybe three times, almost like calling back a toddler and then just saying, no, I'm not going to come. I think that red card, any hope they had, was gone. They did have that goal disallowed, but in truth, as I mentioned, had it been 3 or 4, I don't think Atletico could have had any complaints at all.
So what will Atletico put this down to? I mean, you know, by the time of the red card, it felt Liverpool were in complete control anyway, Chris. So where did things go wrong for Diego Simeone's side at Anfield?
I think Liverpool are so good when they are that relentless. Actually, for the first minute, Atletico really tried to go for them as well. I think perhaps they've seen the way that Brighton played against them in the English Premier League and thought maybe Liverpool defensively are a little bit vulnerable. But the first goal was absolutely key, and it was a fantastic ball from Alexander-Arnold from just inside off the right touchline, played back to him, and he arced in one of those trademark Alexander-Arnold balls. But Kieran Trippier and Felipe immediately had a heated discussion as to who should have been picking up Jota. And Jota's a wonderful player. You don't necessarily think of him as a brilliant header of the ball, but he couldn't miss. So the ball was perfect from Alexander-Arnold, and that first goal was always going to be key. I think defensively, for normally such a well-drilled outfit, I say normally, in recent weeks they have conceded a lot, Atletico. I think that they'll look back on that moment where they perhaps defensively could have been more solid, because if they had have kept Liverpool out for 20-30 minutes, might have been a different game. But as soon as they conceded one, Liverpool had the confidence, had the momentum, had the cop, and you thought they're always going to get a second here.
And Liverpool now in this fabulous position whereby they've won the group with two games to spare. They can rotate if they want, and that certainly helps their title push heading into December. We'll stay with this game, of course, by moving to Milan-Porto in the same section. This was the early kickoff in the group. Milan hosting Porto at San Siro. It was watched by Mark Scott.
Druic, who wasn't even meant to be in the team, has carved out a really good chance, which is in! Oh, Porto lead, it's Luis Diaz again! Such a cool finish from inside the area, but it owed so much to the approach work from Marco Druic. And once again, Luis Diaz is toasting a goal against AC Milan, and it could be curtains for the Serie A side in the Champions League this term. Milan 0, Porto 1. It's about 30 metres from goal, central area. Bennacer has a shy at it. It's Porto. But Giroud onto the rebound. His efforts well saved by Diogo Costa. Oh, it's in! It's an own goal! A lifeline for Milan! Put into his own net by Chancellor Bemba. Just what the doctor ordered for Stefano Pioli's side. Second best this evening. They're on level terms. An own goal from Mbemba makes it Milan 1, Porto 1.
And that is how it would finish. Milan knew pre-kickoff they'd be out if they lost or if they drew an Atletico v Liverpool. But that didn't happen. So Milan hang in there. But it's another disappointing result. Adam, you cover Serie A. Why are we seeing this Milan in the Champions League, a team that just cannot win, just 1 point so far compared to the team that is joint top of Serie A right now?
Yeah, it's a difficult one because there is such a stark contrast between their domestic and European form. I suppose we have to factor into it how long it's been since Milan have been in the UEFA Champions League. I think that's important because you've got, you know, a lot of those players who are sort of learning on the job, if you like. Yes, they have got experienced players there. You know, someone like Zlatan Ibrahimovic obviously brings a wealth of experience, but you know, they're having to almost relearn it, I think, as a club. It's not easy, that, and it's not an easy group either. We should remember that too. I think at times they've given good accounts of themselves. I would certainly say that about how they played against Liverpool at Anfield on match day one. I know that, you know, Liverpool had a lot of the ball and won the game 3-2, but I thought that they certainly didn't disgrace themselves. I thought, you know, to go in front in the game as well. So they've had moments in the group stage so far. I think, if I'm honest, the priority this season for me, looking at the sides that are being picked, the way that they're playing domestically and in Europe as well, it feels for me like domestic, that is where the top priority is, because they see an opportunity, I think, as well, for their first Serie A title in a decade. You know, they're performing so well in Serie A. They've only dropped 2 points all season so far, which is incredible, 11 games in. You know, Juventus are 16 points behind them. That's how good they've been. So, yeah, I wonder whether it's partly priorities, partly the fact that the club's been away from Europe for so long. Some people might just say I'm making a ton of excuses for them. I don't know. But I'm trying to think of reasons why maybe we're not seeing the Milan in Europe that we are seeing domestically, because I've covered them a lot this season in Serie A, and they've put in some really impressive performances, I have to say. Not so much maybe in the Champions League, though.
Yeah, well, I think the toughness of the group really is key here. I mean, Porto, Atletico and Liverpool have played a lot of Champions League football over the past 5 years. And for Porto, well, the UEFA player of the match was Luis Diaz, who scored the winner when these sides met on match day three, scored at San Siro again. And Porto now, given that Atletico have lost again, move on to 5 points, Chris. They're second in the group above Atletico and have somehow got themselves in a good position to challenge for a round of 16 spot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think when they walked off the pitch at San Siro, they would have been disappointed because they did more than enough to win the game. But when they then sat back and realised that Atletico had been beaten, it's a good night because they've gained a point on their nearest rival. But Adam talked there about not Milan the club, but this Milan squad and their lack of experience. Porto are absolute regulars in the knockout stage of the Champions League. Last season, quarter-final. 2019 quarterfinal, round of 16 in 2018 and 2017. They, you know, they're always in the group stage and they nearly always make it through. So they are a very, very established group of players playing under a coach with a very distinctive style as well. And, you know, match day six, Rob, Porto Atletico at the Dragão. That
huge,
will
yep.
almost
yeah.
certainly have something riding on it. And it won't be for the faint-hearted, but it could be one of the matches of match day six.
Liverpool top the group, 12 points. Through as group winners, Porto 5 points, Atletico 4, Milan 1. They're not out of the Champions League yet. Milan go to Atletico next. Liverpool host Porto on Wednesday, the 24th of November. OK, let's go to Group C next. Borussia Dortmund coming up against Ajax. Two very entertaining teams. Phil Blacker, watch this one.
Marco Reus standing over the penalty for the home side. They're down to 10 men, but with a chance to go in front. Reus steps up right-footed and scores into the corner. Pesver guessed right by going right, but couldn't get to it. Deflected off the Dortmund defender and then turned in by Tadic at the far post. And Ajax have got their equalising goal from the acutest of angles. And Ajax's pressure has paid off here. Just inside the last 20 minutes of the match, it's Borussia Dortmund 1, Ajax 1. This is Anthony wide on the right-hand side. It delivers the cross in towards Allaire, and Ajax have turned it around. It's Sebastian Allaire on the end of the opportunity, kept quiet for much of the night by Dortmund, but there when it matters, to score for the seventh time in this season's Champions League and to score the goal that may see Ajax qualify with two games to spare. They've come back from behind to lead at Dortmund by 2-1. Ball comes all the way through for Anthony here, looking for a hat-trick of assists, and he's got it. Davy Klaassen is there to apply the finishing touch this time. Ajax with a third in added time. Three more points, four straight wins, and a place in the round of 16 at the Champions League. Dortmund 1, Ajax 3.
Well, they've dominated what looked like an even group on paper. Impressive from Ajax as they go to 10-man Dortmund and claim the victory. Phil joins Adam and Chris and myself now. Phil, any arguing with the result there?
Not in the end, Rob. Ajax got the job done. It was a very different type of display. They weren't as dominant as against Dortmund in Amsterdam a couple of weeks ago. I don't think anybody was expecting that they would be. And there was always going to be a Dortmund response. And we saw that in the early stages of the game when they really took the match to Ajax. They did to Ajax what Ajax did to them, really, a couple of weeks ago. Except they couldn't quite apply the finishing touch. Missed a couple of big chances in the first 20 minutes or so of the game. And then the moment, really, that changed everything. Half an hour in, Dortmund going down to 10 men. Mats Hummels shown a straight red card by referee Michael Oliver for a late challenge. It went to video review. It was a lengthy review. It was debated, I'm sure, by Stuart Atwell, the VAR, but they decided to stick with the on-field decision. Dortmund and Hummels couldn't quite believe it. They used that sense of frustration to fuel a response and got themselves in front, actually, just 7 minutes later. This time, a refereeing decision on video review went their way because a penalty appeal had been waved away. Michael Oliver was recommended to have another look at the challenge on Jude Bellingham by Mazraoui, gave the penalty. Marco Reus scored it, and it was a lead that Dortmund took into half-time. It was always going to be difficult after that with 10 men against this Ajax side. Of all the opposition that they could be facing in those sort of circumstances, the task could not have been much tougher, and they held that lead going into the last 20 minutes before ultimately falling short. And I think Ajax deserve a lot of credit for that because they'd seen Dortmund's threat in the first half on the counter-attack. They didn't necessarily go into all-out attacking mode. They bided their time. They knew that Dortmund legs would tire as the game went on, that spaces would materialise. That did pan out that way, and they had the perfect player in Anthony to make all the difference. He was outstanding, second half in particular, and made all three of the goals. Dusan Tadic with the equaliser turning in it at the far post. At some personal cost, his left leg went one side of the post, his right leg went the other, and you can guess the rest. But he picked himself up to celebrate what was a crucial equalising goal, which eased the pain. And Ajax were the firm favourites from there on in. It took 7 minutes from time before they got their noses in front for the first time. Another wonderful ball in from Anthony. Brilliant header from Sebastian Allaire, who'd barely really been in the game in terms of opportunities to that point. Dortmund had dealt with his threat well, but scored in his first four Champions League games now in his career, and seven so far in the group stage this season. Took it brilliantly, and that was virtually job done, but they made sure in stoppage time. Hat-trick of assists for Anthony and a straightforward finish for Davy Klaassen. So Ajax deserve an awful lot of credit for the way that they managed the situation, that they made their pressure pay, they bided their time, but Dortmund won't be able to reflect missed opportunities in the sense of what might have been, I guess. They'll look back to that Hummels dismissal and think, if we'd kept all 11 players on the pitch, what this result might have been. And it really could have been very different, because up to that point, Dortmund were excellent and they were determined to make amends for a couple of weeks ago.
But you know, Rob, at the start of this season, there was a lot of excitement in Amsterdam about the squad that Ajax have built. And I think for them to have won back-to-back games against Dortmund is only going to further the belief that they can really make an impact. And Phil mentioned about Allaire scoring in his first four Champions League appearances. Just the fifth player ever to do that. Of course, Erling Haaland did it a couple of years back. But it's been remarkable for him, because remember last year he was signed. There was an administrative error by Ajax. Yeah. Meant that he couldn't play for them in the knockout stages of the Europa League. Had to sit in the stands. They got knocked out earlier than they thought they perhaps should have done. Well, this year he really has made amends for that. And he is red hot, and so are Ajax. And I mean, I think they took a couple of thousands. They will really believe, those supporters now, that they can, as they did a couple of years back when they lost so heartbreakingly in the semi-final, that they can go deep into this competition.
14 goals scored, two against, and they've won the first four group stage games of a Champions League campaign for the first time in their history. Continue to do super work, Ajax. Elsewhere in that group, Sporting saw off Besiktas, who finished the game with 10 men, but Sporting were dominant from the off. Pedro Gonçalves scoring twice in the first half, one of them a penalty. Paulinho drilled one in from distance to make it 3-0 just before the break, and then Pablo Sarabia wrapped it up in the second period. And Phil, now that makes that meeting on match day five between Sporting and Dortmund extra special.
It does. It's absolutely huge now, isn't it? The trip to Sporting. I think Dortmund will take enough positives from the performance against Ajax, the way that they responded to the nature of the defeat, and the sense of what might have been. I think they can use that to their advantage going to Sporting, but up against another free-scoring side. It's going to be such a key contest, that one. Ajax, of course, can relax. They just need, I think, the one more point to secure top spot. That would have come had Sporting not beaten Besiktas. But all the pressure is on who goes through with them. It's going to be a massive meeting on match day five, isn't it?
And remember, Sporting have only ever made it through once in the Champions League era to the last 16. So this is a massive opportunity for them. It's going to be a great atmosphere in Lisbon in 3 weeks' time, and you'd have to think the winner of that game will almost certainly join Ajax in the last 16.
Major drama in Group A on Wednesday night. Manchester City have gone top of their section after beating Club Brugge by 4-1. Phil Foden started the game up front and started the scoring too. He said City reacted at being 1-1 at half time and were better in the second half.
Thought we had a sloppy first half and let them get back into the game, but you know, we got in at half time. Spoke about what was going wrong, and I think in the second half we changed that and yeah, played much better. The manager wasn't happy, and that's that's kind of thing he is. You know, you have to take his advice, and he changed a couple of things in the second half, and I think we was much better in possession. And once we get the rhythm and play our lovely football, the chances start opening up, and yeah, I'm delighted with the second half.
No striker, no problem for City in the end. Foden, Mahrez, Sterling and Gabriel Jesus on the score sheet after a bizarre own goal from Stones on 17 minutes, but Bernardo Silva kicked the ball onto his face and it ended up in the net. But City's deserved winners, and they've managed to recover a good position after losing to Paris earlier in the group stage, Chris.
Yeah, they have. I really enjoyed that. And then we played our lovely football.
Yeah.
I mean, he's absolutely
right. He's full of confidence, isn't he, in a minute, Foden?
And he is, genuinely, no, Kevin De Bruyne, you never know, you can't really say anyone is dropped when it comes to Pep Guardiola's team selections, but at the moment, and it may well change as the season develops, Phil Foden is playing ahead of Kevin De Bruyne, I think. And if you'd said that a year, 2 years ago, no one would have believed you, but he is playing at seriously high level. And they don't have a centre-forward, and that debate will go on and on, but they score so many tap-ins. And they're tap-ins because
low of crosses across the absolutely face of the goal. Yeah.
You know, it's brilliantly constructed, but you think if they did have absolute goal score, they'd score 30, 40 goals, whoever he was, but Foden's brilliant, and that's going into match day three, I thought in at least one of the games that Club Brugge were going to run City close, but actually it's finished 9-1, is it, on aggregate between the two teams?
9-2. Yeah, pretty emphatic. Let's hear from City's boss, Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, fully deserved. So the first 90 minutes until we scored a goal was magnificent. And after we conceded a goal and one action, and after like we drop a little bit, we could not concede the goals. So and the second half was really good. Of course, they play this, change the setup, the defense so deep, they attack a lot, really good the channels. so it's not easy. But yeah, it was a good game, good victory. It was important before the Bruges away. Bruges home, take the 6 points after our defeat in Paris. So yeah, we are in. We need one more point or to qualify. 3 more points to be first. So we're going to try to do it.
Pep knows the maths, doesn't he? 10 points normally gets you out of the group stage. Elsewhere in the section, RB Leipzig scored a penalty in added time to draw 2-2 with Paris Saint-Germain. Gini Wijnaldum got Paris's goals on the night, his first for the club. He reacts to what he believes was a sloppy performance.
I think in some moments we did well, where we controlled the game and then created the chances. What I just said, unfortunately we didn't make them. But, you know, that's something where we have to improve, that when you are up, you have to choose the moments better, and when you have the ball, you have to keep it and make them run. And today we gave them chances when we have the ball, where we lose the ball too easy. So that makes it difficult in the second half.
Well, Nkunku put Leipzig ahead, his fifth goal in the group stage this season against his former club. André Silva then had a penalty saved by Donnarumma. Wijnaldum scored twice before half-time, and then there was the late penalty drama. Kimpembe's foul, it was given on a VAR review, and Szoboszlai stepped up this time to score from the spot. Despite this, Phil Blacker, and you've covered Leipzig through this Champions League campaign, they're out already, and that'll be heartbreaking for them. The damage was done, really, prior to tonight.
It was, yes, starting with those three straight defeats. I think they would have known that in their heart of hearts, and yet still were able to dig deep and salvage a point from this game. Take a lot of pride, I'm sure, from the performance against opponents of the magnitude that they face. But this is a club that has come so far so quickly, and despite being drawn in such a difficult group with you know, two of the strongest sides maybe in the competition in Manchester City and Paris Saint-Germain, they would certainly have harboured hopes of qualification, or at least of taking it a lot further than they've managed to do. And how they deal with this disappointment will determine, I think, the rest of their season. But they've got the quality at the club to be able to do that.
And they can still qualify for the Europa League. Manchester City now top of the group, 9 points. Paris Saint-Germain, 8. Club Brugge, 4. Leipzig, 1. Paris Saint-Germain go to Manchester City on a match day 5. Leipzig go away to Club Brugge. OK, to Group D, finally. Real Madrid earlier in the day, thanks to a couple of goals from the UEFA Player of the Match. Karim Benzema got the win against Shakhtar Donetsk. Benzema's opener was actually Real Madrid's 1,000th in European Cup football. They're the first club to reach that landmark. A big win for Real Madrid, who now top Group D on 9 points. They have got level Shakhtar through Fernando and came close to other goals in that game, but it was Madrid's night in the end. Elsewhere, Sheriff have lost top spot in the group, beaten 3-1 away by Inter. Brozovic, Skriniar and Alexis Sanchez on the score sheet. And Adam, you cover Italian football. Another notable win for Inter there.
Yeah, it is, and it's 3 in a row now. They're well-placed in the league, the defending champions, 3rd. They've got the Milan derby coming up at the weekend. This was great preparation for that. I think the midfield's looking really good. Inzaghi is certainly a fantastic coach. Of course, got Lazio out of the group stage last season. And there's real frustration has been at Inter that they've not managed that the last 3 seasons. It would be a big feather in his cap if he could do it in his first season with the Nerazzurri.
Certainly would be their 3rd in Serie A at the moment, Inter, and currently they're 2nd in the group now on 7 points. Every game is huge in this section, by the way. Inter host Shakhtar in the early kickoff on match day 5. Sheriff take on Real Madrid, looking for another win against them. Okay, quickly time for highlights of the night. Phil Blacker, starting with you.
I think it has to be Anthony's second half performance for Ajax. Took full advantage of the circumstances with a hat-trick of assists to send them through.
OK, Adam, pick your moment of the match at Anfield.
Well, I think I have to go back to the Alexander-Arnold assist. He was so important, but the performance of the hour that Fabinho had, I thought, was vital as well.
I'm going to have to go for that late leveller for Leipzig. Keeps them just about in contention in terms of third place, and it might well determine who tops that section ahead of that huge game between City and Paris in 3 weeks' time.
Just in the nick of time, gents. Good work. Thank you very much to Phil, Adam and Chris as well. That's all we have time for tonight. What a fantastic match day 4. Remember to join us at 6 p.m. CET throughout the group stage for more live commentary, analysis and drama from the competition. We will be back with our live coverage on Tuesday, the 23rd of November, for match day 5, with some thrilling games on the way as well. And remember to download our podcast shortly after every single match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.